Well, we are. That's true. Okay, so let's talk about DOT, shall we?
Okay, let's do
bring
it.
Let's introduce our next guest. Your sister, your kind sister, lined this up for us, which I'm very appreciative
of. Okay, we got Mike Matusik. He is the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association. Mike, welcome to Rush to Reason. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Mike. This is something, you know, near and dear to me. I've watched some of this stuff, you know, come down the pike here in recent history. So first of all, talk to us a little bit about what's happening when it comes to DOT and the changes that are coming for truckers.
Yeah, so effective December 18th of this year, there is what we call the ELD mandate, which is scheduled to be implemented. And this dates back a number of years, really back to 2012 when, sort of in the middle of the night at the last hour of the legislative process, Congress stuck in this ELD mandate into a highway bill that was ultimately signed into law. So that's kind of where it started, though there's a lot more history with it.
Okay, and you are the Director of Government Affairs, again, of the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association, which essentially means independent truckers, correct?
Yeah, that's a pretty good explanation, sure.
Which, by the way, I'm very thankful for all of you truckers that are out there, you know, doing the things that you do, those goods and the things that we consume and eat and buy and all the different things, they don't happen without you guys. So tell them all on our behalf, Matt, Mike, that we're very, very thankful.
Yeah, we'll do, absolutely. Yeah, so WIDA itself, we've been around for almost 45 years. We have about 158,000 members nationwide. The overwhelming majority of them are single truck independent owner operators. So okay. They haul anything and everything.
Yeah, I mean, literally. I mean, anybody listening, just so you know, everything that you go out and consume and buy and eat and everything else gets driven, even if it's just that last five or 10 miles, it's still brought in by truck, right, Mike?
Oh, absolutely. I can't remember the exact statistic, but yeah, most everything moves by truck at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm trying to think even just for a second, Mike, what wouldn't come by truck, but unless it's some sort of electronic data that you're, you know, pulling down from the internet, if it's a good or a service, something tangible that you hang on to, everything from food to, you know, to water, bottled water, you name it, it's all coming by the truck at some point in time.
Absolutely. And, you know, some of the things I've heard when I speak to our members, a lot of times I ask them, I say, hey, what are you hauling? And it's sometimes it can be totally random. But, yeah, they haul refrigerated food, you know, the food that stocks your grocery shelves, all kinds of hazardous materials, anything that can go on a flatbed, lumber,
yep.
You know, all that
steel,
kind of stuff.
You name it. It's all, yeah, that all comes that way. Okay, so this electronic logbook, which I don't want to give out too much detail on my side of the fence, but let me just say, pain in the royal rear. Talk to us more about it.
Yeah, again, mandated in 2012. In 2015, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration issued their final rule, basically mandating that this be installed on most every commercial truck out there effective December 18th of this year. We, all along the way, have had a lot of concerns with it. We've challenged it in court. We've challenged it in Congress. Earlier this year, we had Congressman Brian Babin out of Texas that introduced a bill to delay it for 2 years. That's kind of stalled out, but we're still cautiously optimistic. And really, it has a $2 billion price tag, so it's one of the largest unfunded transportation mandates in the last decade that small business truckers are going to pay most of that price tag.
Yep.
Whether it's this year, next year, years forward, I mean, it's going to be billions of dollars constantly, never ending when it's all said and done.
Which basically, and make sure that I say this correctly too, because I'm a big one on this. I say this all the time. At the end of the day, it really affects all of us as consumers because those costs will eventually get driven down in the cost of goods.
You know, that's we certainly expect that will happen. It'll be interesting to see what how this all plays out financially for consumers, for truckers. And for many others that will be caught up in this. And the mandate, it's really, trucking is one of the most diverse industries out there. I mean, as we talked earlier, they haul everything. They're just, mm-hmm. It's so unique. And this is really a one-size-fits-all mandate that doesn't work for everybody. This is highlighted by the fact that roughly 11 or 12 unique groups have requested exemptions from the rule. There are a couple of exemptions built into it.
What are some of the exemptions, real quick? Give us what they are.
Sure. So there's what I call the 8-day and less than 8 days and 30-day exemption. So if you don't exceed an air mile radius more than 8 times in a rolling 30-day period, you would be exempt from having an ELD. The problem is there's no way to really enforce that. So what we think is going to happen is people will be legitimately using the exemption, but they'll still get ticketed and put out of service because they can't prove it. There's simply no way on the roadside to do that. There is actually,
and hey, real quick, stop. I want to stop for just 1 second, Mike, too, because most people have no idea when you just said roadside what that means. Tell the folks real quick. We'll take a break as soon as you do this, but tell the folks real quick what happens at certain times where you could either stop on a predetermined stop for, you know, for a trucker actually has to stop, weigh, and do that, or you just get randomly picked out of the crowd, which, by the way, you get picked out of the crowd because they know you can write the check. That's my biggest beef with all of this anyways. Talk a little bit about those random checks.
Yeah, so going through a weigh station or scale house, whatever you want to call it, truckers can get randomly selected to go in for an inspection. And that can happen on the roadside, not necessarily at a scale house. So,
right.
Yeah, they'll get pulled in. Their enforcement will check their logs, make sure that all their lights are working, that they're at the proper weight, all kinds of things that they look for. I mean, hundreds of things.
Yes.
The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulations, it's like a phone book.
That's right.
Of regulation.
Which, by the way, I've talked to many, my guys have been stopped, and we've had many a conversation with different law enforcement officers that will adamantly admit that even a brand new truck rolling right out after being totally gone through, chances of them not finding something is slim to none. In other words, if they really want to get ticky-tacky, they can find most anything on any given day on any truck.
Absolutely. Truckers deal with that every single day. It's almost impossible to be compliant. If enforcement wants to find something wrong, they most certainly will.
That's exactly right. As far as I'm concerned, Mike, it's a license to steal from trucking companies, period.
I think a lot of our members would agree with that.
Well, I'm one of them, and I fully am aware of how this works. And my beef is they will stop the truckers and or the commercial vehicles because they know they can write the check, whereby the guy driving by with the windshield that's basically blown up and can't even be seen through gets a pass.
Oh, absolutely. There are examples if one of your taillights go out because of a wire comes loose, right, and you get pulled over for that. It's something you can fix right then and there. No way going down the road that you would possibly know that happened. So it's something you can fix, but rather than enforcement letting you just fix it and get back on your way, they'll give you a citation.
That's right.
Which usually means money out of your pocket.
Now, I will say, here in Colorado, we have run into a few officers that have been very kind in some of what you're saying and have allowed for some, I guess I would call, passes where they will say, yeah, okay, we'll let you get that taken care of right there. But that really, and Mike, you know this as well as I, that comes down to the judgment of the officer. And you know what? Not all officers are that fair.
That's absolutely right. I mean, it's up to each individual officer. There are a lot of great law enforcement officers out there, and there are some that we hear in certain locations, certain parts of the country that go overboard, and that's really the best way to put it.
No, that's a great way to put it. All right, we'll come right back. We're talking about DOT regulations, things that are changing when it comes to electronic logbooks for truckers, and some of you are thinking, John, I don't care. You should.
You really should.
Trust me, you should. This is a bigger deal than what anybody else out there can imagine. This will affect every good and service.
You know, John, this is somewhat Orwellian.
It's very much so.
Yeah.
So we'll get into why here in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. Affordable interest mortgage is coming up next. Kurt Rogers, our good friend, he would love to help you out with your mortgage, whether it's a new loan, a refi, self-employed, you name it. He's there to help. 720-895-0500. That's Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage. Tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
Affordable interest mortgage still has rates in the mid-3s. Do that upgrade that you've been putting off, or pay off that high interest rate debt, or just get ready for the holidays. Purchase your next home with only 2% down and no mortgage insurance. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. We all know rates are going to go up, so why keep putting it off when you can borrow money in the 3s? Do you know paying mortgage insurance is like adding 1.5% to your current rate without the tax deduction? Why? Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Call now and find out how to pay off your home faster, save over $100,000 in excess interest that you get to keep, all without changing one penny of your spending habits. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. VA loans to 100% with cash out in the low 3s. We've been serving Colorado since 2001, where it's all about you is not just our motto, it's who we are. Get the respect you deserve. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. NMLS 298-191, regulated by DORA, Equal Credit Lender.
AAA Solar is looking for retirees who want to earn extra income while setting your own work schedule. You won't need to climb on roofs to install solar panels, but you can earn as much as $50 per hour helping people make an educated decision about going green by meeting with prospects either in their home or our office. No previous sales or solar experience needed, as AAA Solar has an excellent training program to help you succeed. Call AAA Solar today at 303-975-4908 and ask about the job opening you heard on KLZ, 303-975-4908.
Group Insurance Analyst, Colorado's insurance superstore since 1984. Business, home, health, auto, Medicare, life, dental, and more. Compare and shop for all your insurance needs. Call today, 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. John Rush, Cassie George doing Facebook Live. Dan Muir over here handling things for us, getting other things booked throughout the day. So we'll get more guests coming up here later today,
yeah,
we
got Steve Laffey coming on at 5:30 to talk about the new Fed chief that Trump appointed.
All right, Susan Kochevar just joined us, 88 Drive-In. We'll have her on at 5 o'clock as well. In the meantime, Mike Matusik is also with us, Director of Government Affairs for the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association, basically independent truckers. So again, Mike, welcome back. We do have a call coming in. So let me take Tony here real quick, see what questions he's got. Hang on here 1 second. I got to make sure that I – hang on, guys, real tight. Let me make sure that I do this correctly here because I got to make sure that we're on the right channels here and everything else. So – why is that not letting me do
it's
that?
So
there
technical.
We go.
There it is.
There we go. I got to get back over to this other side here. Now let me take Tony. Tony, welcome. How's things going today?
Hey, very good. Very good.
So what question do you have for Mike?
Well, I'm a second-generation owner-operator, and I've lived and breathed trucking my whole life. I'm 41 years old and own my own truck and trailer. And one of the biggest concerns, from my point of view, is the cost.
Okay.
There's the overriding cost. You're talking $400 to well over $1,000 just to get the unit, plus a monthly fee that we have to pay, and we don't get compensated at all for any of that.
Right.
Secondly, there's no safety reason behind this whatsoever.
None. Zero.
LDs have zero. You know, safety improvement at all across the board. It's a completely useless, burdensome cost to all owner-operators and small trucks.
Well, and if I can step in real quick, Tony, Mike, mm-hmm. you can jump in and dovetail on this if you would like. Personally speaking, the way I see this is the big, big trucking companies that are out there running 1,000-plus trucks that are trying to put the little guy out of business. Am I right in saying so?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And to add to that, all of the big trucking companies that have been the biggest proponents of the ELD mandate have had ELDs for 10, 20 years.
Yep.
In fact,
so it's no cost to them because they're already running them.
They're already running them. Absolutely. And in fact, a lot of those that already have them have among the worst safety records in trucking. So if they're supposed to improve safety, we're not really sure how that all adds up.
We both know that it doesn't. Again, and Dan would agree with me on this as well. This is just a way for the big guy to snuff out the little guy.
Exactly. No, you're exactly right, John.
But absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, that's you nailed it. I mean, it's imposing another cost on small business truckers. Like I said, the $2 billion price tag. Depending on the unit that you buy, you're looking at anywhere from a couple of $100 a year to well over $1,000. Those are recurring costs, especially if you buy a solution that has some type of monthly charge for it. And drivers, owner-operators, will not get paid for that.
Right, right. That's exactly right. Tony, I got two other calls coming in. I want to get them in as well. Anything else you want to add to that, Tony?
I was just going to say it's another burdensome thing from the government, from regulations, as far as that's something we're not getting compensated for. We're right. When you get your CDL, you sign off, you're under maritime law when you become
right.
a driver.
Right.
So you're not entitled to hourly wages. And so this is another way the government is trying to corner us into an hourly
yes.
deal. We're not getting compensated by the hour, not even close, and it's already a way undercompensated
yep.
business as it is. So
yep.
thank you for letting me call.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So let's do this. We will Oh, hang on here. 1 second, if I can. I got to make sure that what I'm going to do, Charlie, is I'm going to let you drop Tony real quick. And, Mike, I got a question for you real quick while we're getting our phone calls adjusted here real quick before I take Calvin and Art. When it comes to this electronic log, and make sure that I'm saying this correctly, the way this works is owner-operator's out. He's got this electronic log. And all of a sudden, something happens. He didn't quite calculate things correctly, and he's midpoint between, I don't know, Cheyenne and Denver, and realizes, and that's really not a great example because we've got places to stop. He's between Cheyenne and Casper. And all of a sudden, he realizes that, wait a minute, I'm going to run over if I continue to drive, and I'm in the middle of nowhere. He basically is going to be pulling over or run the risk of getting fined if he doesn't. Am I correct in saying so?
Absolutely. He or she will pull over on the side of the road wherever their time runs out, and that's a huge safety risk. And again, trucking is across the country. You can run into congestion, accidents, rush hour, bad weather, all types of things that can really mess your schedule up. And we always pointed this out to DOT, and their response is, well, they need to plan better. Well, that's just wrong.
Yeah, well, so, okay. And what I would tell back to DOT is, okay, yeah, that's all fine and dandy until I had to sit at the dock and wait for the load to get loaded, and everybody showed up a half hour late, and which made my schedule now a half an hour off or even an hour off, depending upon where that puts you in traffic. And you get the drift. I can go down the line of things that would come up that way.
So in other words, what you guys are telling us is that the government wants to do for trucking what it's done for healthcare.
Thank you.
Screw it up.
That's exactly right.
And the 30-minute delay you talked about at the dock, we call that detention time, and that can be hours, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours on any given day.
Yep.
For people that they just spend their waiting. And
yep.
Congress and DOT have yet to address that issue.
Calvin is up next. Calvin, welcome. What's going on today, sir?
Hi. I wanted to kind of dovetail in on this. There's another piece that hasn't been mentioned yet, but this is pretty, I consider it a very large violation of my civil rights, because this will turn into or already has the potential on many of these different systems to actually track your every movement everywhere all the time.
Good point. I didn't think about that. Yeah, you're right, Calvin. Yeah.
Then also, I do a lot of meat and produce, all the perishables, and I can tell you from where I'm in the Midwest, and we won't be doing exactly what we're doing right now. And in essence, every driver's paycheck out of the Midwest is going to be cut in half that does meat and produce.
Wow. Now,
I don't know how companies plan on having driver retention work for them when you cut their pay in half.
It won't.
But I can tell you that if you magically lose a whole bunch of them real fast like that, I personally am not. I'm quitting. I will not drive with an electronic logbook. And I've been almost 29 years now I've been driving. So
wow.
that's a few million miles that are getting shot. I'm not going to do it simply for the civil rights violations. I don't need to be tracked.
Got it.
No, I totally get that.
I have proven.
Yep. Makes sense to me. I totally agree. Calvin, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. Mike, what do you want to add to that?
Those are very legitimate concerns. And from a safety perspective, there are hundreds of thousands of truckers that have never had any sort of significant safety violation, have never had an accident. And these are people that have been driving for decades,
mm-hmm.
with millions of miles, that simply don't need an ELD. And we've heard, and our concern is, as should be the concern of the traveling public, is that it's pushing experienced drivers, safe experienced drivers, off of the road. They don't want it. They don't need it. It's an added cost. They can't afford it. So really, you're pushing out the safest, best drivers out there.
Yeah, and I'll throw on my tinfoil hat here for a second. I would say this is also going to be something to push automated trucking. And
well, I want to talk. Yeah, Mike.
Automated truckers will be.
Now hold that thought, Mike. I want to talk about that here in just 1 minute. Before we do that, though, we got another break coming up. But before we do that, Art, I want to be respectful of your time. Let's take you next. Art, welcome to Rush to Reason.
Hello, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing great, Art. Thanks for calling.
Oh, I can tell. I like the discussion, and I will try to make my point real short, real quick.
Okay.
I came from Poland. I ran out of communism. All right, socialism. Okay. I didn't know what it is till I got here, so now I can tell you the difference. You know what the difference is?
What's that?
Well, freedom of enterprise.
Yeah.
We didn't have that in Poland. It was killing me and my friends at the age of in the 20s. We were 20 years old, okay? when 20-year-old male cannot have exercise, can't exercise freedom of enterprise, he will start drinking, okay? We were drinking heavily. It sounds nuts, but that's what Russia still is, okay? Young male need to be able to choose his way through life, okay? Yeah. I wasn't able. I would never, if I stay over there, I would be probably dead already because drinking doesn't do well to your soul. I was depressed too, like very many people over there, okay? I didn't know why. I know now. Because the moment I put my feet on the American ground, which was in year 2000, and it was Memphis Airport, I got $500 in my pocket. My father borrowed that money to me. He loaned it. And I didn't speak a word in English, okay? And since that day, and nobody showed up to pick me up because they forgot.
Oh, no, Art.
Yeah. Damn. But, you see, I was on my own. And since 2000, September, it was 26 September of 2000, I'm on my own, and I never had a bad day.
Amen.
Believe it or not. Amen. I never had a bad day.
Amen, Art. Good for you.
Art, can you come and speak to schools around our city here?
Yeah. Could you actually instill some of that work ethic into some of our young people, Art? We'd love that.
Well, let me tell you this. I drive for 14 years, 11 years in my old truck. I bought new Peterbilt. They didn't want to sell it to me because they said, even though I said, hey, you're starting with an used truck, okay? $50,000, $60,000 we can borrow to you. I said, no. No, I'm buying new, okay? Now, let me tell you this. I was never late under produce load or meat load.
Wow.
You guys made me. You guys like Tony Hanson, he was just talking. All the American truckers, you guys taught me how to do it, okay?
Amen.
We're buying this. We learn every day. We watch your trucks, okay? We listen to whatever you got to say, and we follow you like crazy.
Wow.
Okay? I mean immigrants.
Good story.
Right? You don't know that because we keep our mouth shut. You hear my accent, right?
I do.
We don't want you to pick on us. Easily.
Well, by the way, Art, your English is pretty good for only being here as long as you have been. You've done very well. Good job.
Thank you. So my point is, don't kill the spirit with stupid regulations.
Amen.
We got it in Poland.
Amen, Art.
We got it in Russia.
Yep.
And that's why those people are so aggressive. They're so pissed off.
Yep.
Even those hackers, those Russian hackers that will go after ELD, and they will try just to make their point, whatever they say. Drunken point we're gonna be, they will show us that they can stop those trucks or speed them up.
Yeah, that's right. Good stuff. Art, thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Art.
You. No, very good. Really
great
appreciate
call.
It. Got to take
great
a break
call.
Real quick. Mike, hang tight. We'll come right back. Director of Government Affairs for the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association. Mike Matusik is with us. And again, basically, he's representing independent truckers across the country. We'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Michael Bailey Law, Mobile Estate Planning, is coming up next. And speaking of mobile, Michael Bailey is there for you.
He is. He'll go anywhere along the Front Range. He'll meet you.
Anywhere you want to meet, he'll do it. He'll talk to you. He'll explain things. He'll find out exactly what your situation is and what's best for you when it comes to your estate planning. 720-394-6887. Tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
So, you haven't called Michael Bailey, the mobile estate planner, yet. But really, what's the worst that can happen today? Well, first, you could die without a will. And then your oldest child will start a fight with the rest of your family about what should happen with what you left behind. And then, because you didn't take a little time to make a plan, all of your assets get tied up in the probate court. And because the court case takes so long to be settled, all of your spouse's savings get used up on legal fees and they're forced to move into that tent city on the outskirts of town because it's all they can afford. And your youngest child will have to join a secret military team as an undercover spy just to make ends meet. All while your oldest grows more resentful because they feel entitled to your assets and they become a wild-eyed megalomaniac and end up building an elaborate slow-moving torture laser that they use on your youngest while monologuing about world domination. Now you get the point? All of this could happen because you didn't call Michael Bailey, the mobile estate planner, while you still had a chance. Call Michael Bailey at 720-394-6887 to avoid the worst that could happen. He'll come to you and get your will drafted today.
Welcome to Save Our Soldiers, an ongoing feature from the Crawford family and Crawford Broadcasting to inform veterans about opportunities and assistance programs in their area.
MakeTheConnection.net, a nationwide online community, connects veterans, their families and friends, and other supporters with resources and solutions for addressing the issues veterans face every day. For veterans, when you experience PTSD or other mental trauma, you will find someone who can keep you grounded and reassure you that you are not alone. For families, when your spouse struggles with depression and substance abuse after returning to civilian life, you'll find the words to start a conversation about seeking treatment. For supporters, when you've been in their shoes and know that sharing your story will help, you can reach out to individuals who will benefit from hearing how you conquered your own challenges. All you have to do is make that connection at MakeTheConnection.net.
Brian Murphy of Front Range Mortgage joins KLZ in supporting, saluting, and applauding U.S. veterans. For links to anything you've heard on SOS, visit 560thesource.com.
Before you get locked into a high-priced contract for your next copier, check out the premium pre-owned copiers at Business Equipment Service. They look like new and they work like new, guaranteed. Best of all, you can save up to 70% off compared to an expensive new copier. We are so confident that you will like Business Equipment Service that we are willing to deliver a premium pre-owned copier, including parts and supplies, to your office so you can try it before you buy it. Give us a call, 303-825-5664.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben, come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown, come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
Okay, so Mike Matusik is with us, Director of Government Affairs for the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association. In other words, he represents independent truckers. Mike, now, all the interviews you do, how many times do you actually get to hear that song?
What song was that?
I said, how often do you get to hear that song, Convoy, when you're doing interviews?
Oh, quite a few. In fact, we have a radio program that we do ourselves where I get to hear quite a bit.
There you go. I kind of figured that. That's all right. One of my favorite songs and is a reminder of again, what those independent owner-operators do. So question I had for you, and a little bit off topic, but not, because I think a lot of this correlates back and forth as well. How many years down the road do you think we'll be before we have total automated long-haul trucking? In other words, you know, the cab gets changed around, there's one little seat, the sleeper's gone, it's full of fuel, it'll go coast to coast on one load of fuel, it'll drive 24/7. How far away is that?
Well, that's the billion-dollar question, I suppose. I don't really have an answer for that. I think some people think it will happen sooner. In my opinion, probably a long ways off, if ever. It's a very complicated issue. Some of the testing they've done with autonomous vehicles maybe looks good on paper or on a closed course, but out in the real world, on the road, it's not really that easy. So it's something Congress is looking at. It's something the Department of Transportation is looking at. There are a number of state legislatures across the country that are looking at it. Hopefully they don't move too quickly. We'll certainly be a part of that conversation. As to when or if ever it will actually happen, that remains to be seen. But we'll make sure that we have our voices heard.
Got it. And I'm a car guy. You can probably tell that a little bit from talking, so that's my background, and I am one that predicts, and I could be completely wrong, but I think the trucking world will see it long before the regular automobile does.
Well, you know, there's going to be, most likely, there will be two paths. There'll be one for personal automobiles and one for commercial trucks, right? Mm-hmm. So 4,000, 5,000-pound cars are much different than 80,000-pound trucks.
True.
And stakeholders are, you know, there are different stakeholders in each of those groups. So there's a lot of differences. The Department of Transportation, when it comes to trucking, for example, I mean, there's a phone book of regulations.
Yes.
All of that stuff will have to be addressed, which will take a very, very long time.
True. Good point. No, you've got a very good point there, which, by the way, evidently the very, very richest of us, called Warren Buffett, is thinking like you, because he basically just bet against autonomous trucking by buying Flying J.
Well, yeah. So I think he's a majority owner now,
yes.
Right? So,
yes.
You know, this is really being pushed by Silicon Valley, a lot of your, you know, tech mm-hmm. Tech industries.
Oh, we'll just say it as it is. The Elon Musks of the world are pushing that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, sure thing. And I just want to get back to ELDs real quickly.
No, go ahead. We got to wrap this back around because I got a question to ask you on those lines as well. But go ahead, continue.
So I wanted to mention the only congressional hearing on this issue was back in 2007. At the time, DOT basically said that there was no justification to mandate this on all truckers. They wanted to perhaps incentivize adoption or even perhaps mandate it for those who have serious safety violations. There was a large trucking company, one of the what we call mega carriers, that testified there, again, back in 2007, that said at the time they've been using ELDs for 10 years. And while they wanted to show that there was some improvement in safety, the data didn't support that. And that's the only congressional hearing that has ever taken place on this issue. The mandate was again, thrown into a bill in the middle of the night, passed through. Nobody wants it. In fact, we've been a part of a coalition of more than 30 groups that have urged Congress, urged DOT to stop this thing, delay it, repeal it. And it's a very diverse group. There's several agricultural groups, road builders, the National Association of Small Trucking Companies, Lucas Oil, the National Motors Association, the National Federation of Independent Business. There's just so many to list, mm-hmm. and really Congress and DOT are still intent on pushing this through at the behest of our country's largest trucking companies who already have these devices and have been using them for years. And it really has not shown any sort of improvement in their safety records, and that's what the data shows.
I can't disagree with you on anything you just said. I guess a question for you and some of the listeners that are out there, I'm sure listening, thinking, how could we get involved and help in this? Because all of this, by the way, everybody listening, whether you think this affects you or not, it will, because trucking affects each and every one of us. So, Mike, question for you. What can the average listener that's out there listening do to help?
Call your member of Congress. We urge that all the time for our members. We hope they get involved. If this is going to be addressed, it will be addressed through a grassroots effort. I know there's a lot of Colorado listeners, so I wanted to add that there was an amendment that was voted on during the appropriations process about a month and a half ago that would have delayed the mandate for a year. Unfortunately, the amendment failed. But what I did want to say was that Congressman Scott Tipton, Congressman Ken Buck, Congressman Doug Lamborn and Congressman Mike Kaufman, all from Colorado, supported that amendment. So, kudos to them. They voted the right way. We were hoping that the amendment would be successful. It wasn't. So, yeah, as to what you can do, I mean, if this is something you want to get involved with, there's a ton of information on our website. It's fightingfortruckers.com.
Okay.
There's, a bunch of information. It's very easy to find your member of Congress and their contact information. Or just call your member of Congress. I mean, this is something that will affect everybody. It's going to hit small business truckers extremely hard, and it needs to be delayed. Even if you like ELDs, the rule itself is flawed, and there's going to be a ton of issues that we think will happen if and when this mandate kicks in.
So I'm going to stop for you just 1 second. Who would think that liking them, or I guess those people you just said, even if you like them, who would those people be that think this is a great idea?
Well, big trucking companies, the American Trucking Associations.
We already know why they like it, though, because they want to push the little guy out.
Right, exactly. So, I mean, that's who's really pushing this. There's all kinds of things we've heard of that people use to try and justify their use. Oh, it's going to improve safety, or it's going to prohibit fatigue. Those things just simply aren't true.
No.
The data doesn't support those assertions. Those who like them are those who pretty much already have them, and those that want to impose significant cost on their small business competitors.
Yep, and by doing so means that when there's less competition, let me make sure I get this explained to everybody correctly. When there's less competition, those big companies can raise their prices, therefore making more money. And all of you that receive goods and services, food and so on, will pay the price for that.
Yeah, well said. I mean, it will be interesting to see what happens. Again, we know that people who have been out on the road and have 3 million safe miles that don't like this are probably going to hang up the keys.
Yeah.
It's going to push good drivers out of the business. We don't think we don't see any benefit to it whatsoever. It's just a $2 billion unfunded mandate. It's another
thing that small business truckers are going to have to deal with, along with the phone book size of regulations. Regulatory reform has been a huge priority of ours for a long time, this year especially. We've seen DOT do some good things, and we're hoping
like?
That they continue doing some good. Well, like there was the American Trucking Association about a decade ago petitioned the agency for speed limiters to be installed on every commercial truck. So that has been pushed on the back burner.
Okay.
There are some large carriers that wanted to increase insurance minimums to roughly $4 or $5 million. So theoretically, quadrupling the cost of insurance premiums for small business truckers. That rulemaking that was in progress was essentially withdrawn by the Trump administration. So
okay.
DOT is doing some good things. We hope they continue to do more. They've recently docketed a request for comments on regulatory reform, so we'll be filing those comments. I think they're due December 1st. We'll include all kinds of things, hours of service. There's an issue regarding auto transporters. We'll, of course, talk about insurance minimums, all kinds of things that we'll bring up there. But really what we're focused on now and what we hope Congress or really the Department of Transportation will give another look is the ELD mandate, right? Mm-hmm. If they're intent on pushing it through, it still needs to be delayed. There are a lot of issues that need to be addressed that the agency either can't address or is unwilling to address. And one more example is the DOT has allowed ELD manufacturers to self-certify their product, meaning ELDs that people are buying right now might not actually be compliant with the rules.
Unbelievable.
So if you go out and spend $600, $700, $800 on an ELD, if you get pulled over, say, early next year, and enforcement says, wait a minute, your ELD actually doesn't actually comply with the rule, you have to go out and buy another one. So there's been no certification. It's something we've urged the agency to do. They've refused to do it. And that's just one other example. One of the ways you actually transmit that data to enforcement would be through a USB hookup.
Mm-hmm.
In certain states, state law actually prohibits people from hooking a USB device into their computer, right? The law enforcement doesn't want someone plugging something into their computer that could potentially hack into their system.
Makes sense.
Cybersecurity
sure.
issues.
Sure, makes total sense.
You know, all that sort of thing, all that data that you need to protect. So rural parts of the country, we think there are going to be issues with service, just like your cell phone
yep.
loses service and, you know, as you're driving
yep.
down the road. So
agree.
These are all things that are going to come up, we think. It's going to create just a nightmare, in our opinion.
And to your point, Mike, I don't really see it fixing anything they're trying to fix. In fact, I don't think they're trying to fix anything anyways. I still am one that believes this is just the big trucking companies trying to put the little guy out of business. And they've got the ear of Congress to do so. They made this happen. And, you know, as you can tell, I'm on your side. This is an item that just needs to go away. One last question for you. Could the Trump administration, through an executive order, come through and push this off date-wise?
We think they can. So it's a congressional mandate, so it's a little tricky. But at the end of the day, the executive branch, right, the administration, if they believe that the rule is flawed, that it will create a number of issues, we believe that they have the authority to at least delay it for some amount of time.
Okay.
So the agency can come back, you know, go back, address those issues that we've been talking about. You know, can they kill it altogether? Probably not. It would probably take an act of Congress. But can they delay it at least to fix some of the issues that we've highlighted? We think so.
I think you're right on that. All right, Mike, I really appreciate it. Mike Matusik, Director of Government Affairs, the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association. Essentially, as I said, he is representing those independent truckers. Mike, thanks. If anything else develops, we'd love to get you back on. As you can tell, this is near and dear to me, and I'd love to have you on anytime something comes up.
Anytime. This was great. Really enjoyed it.
Yep,
appreciate
it.
You having me.
Likewise, Mike. Thanks, really Mike. Appreciate it. So, go ahead, Dan.
No, that was good stuff.
No, he's really good.
No, yeah, he's right on, and this is just government overreach.
That's all it is. Front Range Mortgage is coming up.